Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 145 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. Today, really excited to have Tiffany Cornell with us. Tiffany's 32 years old and was born with the disease of addiction. At age six, she was already quite overweight, suffered from severe depression, and as a result, got sent on her first diet retreat with her mother. Ever since then, not a day has gone by that she wasn't on a diet or obsessed with the goal to lose weight and be a different person. She tried every diet out there, but never managed to achieve much. After her first weight loss surgery, which wasn't very successful, she stumbled across the low-carb, high-fat diet, which was very popular in Sweden, where she was living in her early 20s, and she heard about Bitten Johnson and sugar addiction. She immediately identified with everything Bitten said and finally started making some progress. She battled for 8 years to get more than 30 days of abstinence from her trigger foods, always slipping and sliding, a constant back and forth of withdrawal and peace and weight loss and weight gain. Even after her second weight loss surgery, which she agreed to, even though she knew it wasn't the fix for her real issue, she struggled a lot. In 2021, she decided enough was enough. She needed help from someone that actually knows about addiction, and she searched for help. The universe aligned, and at around 30 days of abstinence, which was her usual breaking point, she found SugarX Global. She joined the five-day challenge, invested in their nine-week program, and hasn't looked back. Her life has been completely transformed. She is now 13 months off her drug foods and can barely recognize herself inside and out. She's finally doing what she's passionate about and living a life without depression. And right now she's studying to become a food addiction specialist and primal health coach, and even runs group for SugarX Global on the weekend. So welcome, Tiffany. I'm really, really excited to have you on the podcast with us today to share your story.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm also really excited.
Well, it's really cool because last month we interviewed your capability partner, Karen Hanna. So really cool that, you know, we get to interview and hear your story now too. So yeah. I'd love just to start with your story. You know, that was a lot in the intro that I'm sure a lot of people relate to. I was like nodding my head like, yes, yes. So tell us a little bit about, even starting back at age six, what your own personal story is.
Yeah, so I can really not remember a time where I wasn't overweight. I really don't remember any time. And I've just, you know, I've been on a diet my entire life. And my parents got divorced when I was five or six. And the people around me always said, oh yeah, she's just gaining weight because she has all this trauma in her life. That's very common with children that go through divorce. Now I know that it doesn't really have anything to do with the divorce. It was just the fact that I was already addicted to food, you know? When I talk to my mom now, she told me that age two, I was craving this sweetened tea and I wouldn't go to bed and I would throw tantrums to get my sweetened tea. And that just makes me think, you know, I'm 2 years old. I can't form a proper sentence and I already have this addiction. So it definitely wasn't my choice to eat out of control, but that's pretty much what I did. I spent most of my days eating, and even at a young age, I would lie about it. my grandparents, they were just living across the street. And I would always go over there and say, oh, grandpa, I haven't eaten anything yet at home. Do you have a sandwich for me or something? And he would give me a sandwich. And often he would know that I was lying, but he would still give me a sandwich. Or sometimes in the evenings, we would call across the street and say, grandpa, do you have any cake or anything sweet to eat? And he would throw down this bag attached to a rope from the window and give us some cake. Because, yeah, and I'm saying us because me and my mom, we were both doing those things together. So I think I was born with the addiction because she was eating a lot of sugar during pregnancy. And, you know, then she taught me how to binge. We would go to the supermarket together and spend a lot of money every 2-3 days and then just sit in front of the TV and binge watch TV shows and eat at the same time. So she was like my best friend doing that together. We bonded a lot over that. And
even just like hearing this about your grandfather, like it's so hard probably to deny kids food, you know, that's where that culture is that food equals love too. So yeah. So who, even if he knew, oh yeah, you're already eating, like it's so hard for, I think adults, to deny kids any food, even if they know it's like an unhealthy addiction. But anyway, back to you and your mom. That is so fascinating too, that you really learned that behavior from her. And it was kind of a bonding thing.
Yeah, exactly. And she didn't know any better. I mean, we were on diets together all the time. We would search the internet together and see these videos. One time we were watching like a late night show and they had these pills that would solve all your problems from the States. So we imported them and they didn't do anything except give you an upset stomach, you know, but we always did those things together. One time she joined a program where you had to drink some shakes and it was in the hospital and everything. And she had a lot of success with it temporarily. And then they introduced that for teenagers as well. And because I was so severely overweight, I was accepted to the program. So I also went on the shake diet without any success because I was just binging on the shakes because they came in chocolate and vanilla flavor. I didn't care much for the tomato and vegetable taste, but the chocolate and vanilla was great. So I quit that fairly quickly, actually, because I was so overweight that I was even bullied by the other teenagers that were in that program. There was a lot of bullying growing up because I was so overweight. I went to a bunch of rehab clinics we have in Germany where you can go for 4 to 8 weeks or so and you get put on a diet and you have exercise and therapists and all this stuff, like a full program. You don't even go to school. You just do that for 8 weeks. And of course, I lost some weight when I was there, you know, it's not possible to not lose any weight when you're on like a army kind of training retreat. But it never worked when I came home because at home I had to go to school and I just ate. And I really don't remember that much about my childhood and my teenage days, except that I would spend a lot of time at home avoiding friends, breaking off friendships because I'd rather be at home. I slept a lot. I slept so much because I just didn't want to be awake and experience what's going on in my life. I remember a lot of time I just spent in bed thinking, coming up with these great stories that could be Hollywood movies about how one day I would just wake up and all of a sudden I'd be skinny. And then what would I do when I go to school? They wouldn't recognize me anymore. So I'd say, yeah, I was part of this special project where you had to wear a fat suit all your life to see how people treat you. But actually I'm really skinny. So that's how I spent my days, you know, and I missed a lot of school, I never went on any school trips. My mom always paid for them. And then when the day arrived, I canceled because I couldn't get out of bed. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't, you know, want to do anything.
And I think so many people listening are relating to that too. And even you sparked like a memory just with you saying your stories and your fantasies about just waking up skinny one day. I did the same thing and I just had totally forgotten that, where I would just be so over it in bed, like depressed, not wanting to get out, and just like, oh, what if I just woke up and this was all went away and I was just skinny? I didn't have to worry about this anymore. So yeah. But that's really hard. How old are you, do you think, about this time that, you know?
I think I was maybe 14 or so. It was really bad. I honestly, up until recently, I don't remember a time at school or even during work where I didn't call in sick at least once a month, because I just couldn't get myself to do anything. And this might sound really terrible, but, you know, I remember something very vividly, and my mom does too, I think. The first rehab that we went to together when I was six, I know now what happened and why I was so severely depressed. But I said to her, "Mom, when you went away that evening to spend some time with some friends," and we haven't had problems, you know, with her going somewhere and me spending a little bit of time alone, I didn't want to be alive anymore. I wanted to take my own life at age six.
Wow.
You know, she was really scared, and she sent me to a therapist for that. And everybody always thought it was the trauma. But I know now that we went on rehab, they didn't give me my sweet treats, and I was in withdrawal. And that just makes me so depressive and suicidal. You know, what six-year-olds, a six-year-old doesn't even understand the concept of suicide. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to be alive at age six. But life isn't like that anymore. So yeah, it's good. It took a long time to get there, but it's not like that anymore.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that, but this is all part of your, you know, your story. And I'm sure anyone listening is, you know, relating, or even I have a six-year-old, and I just, that, you know, makes me want to cry like that. It just makes me so sad to hear that, you know, when it hits that early, right? Like, I mean, you're young now, like we were talking about this before we started recording, but you've already lived, you know, a really long life of addiction and that up and down, you know, cycle and all these really big emotions that come with it, even at a really, really early age. Yeah. So kind of pick up. So like from age 14, then, you know, like not going, skipping school, fantasizing about just waking up skinny and all these Hollywood movies. I love it. I was wearing a fat suit the whole time.
Very creative. Nothing worked. I was not able to lose any weight. And around 17, we started the process of me getting weight loss surgery, which was the lap band where they place a silicone band around your stomach. And it was actually very difficult to get that approved, so the health insurance would pay, because I wasn't of age yet. But they did approve it with a lot of fighting, and I thought it would solve all my problems. I had such high hopes. The day after my 18th birthday is when I had surgery. And I went in, I had surgery. They didn't really say much about the food. It was just like, okay, you have this thing now, eat less. So I ate less. I was forced to eat less. But I kind of went from this eating a lot of savory foods and some sweet foods to, okay, I can't do the bread anymore, and I can't do this anymore, and chicken gets stuck. Even if I tried to eat like healthy foods, it would just get stuck. So I went to, okay, let's just eat all the stuff that slides down really nicely, which was ice cream and the really fatty pastries and all those things. So I don't know how much I lost with that surgery, maybe 20 to 30 pounds or something. That's nothing. I was 360 pounds at age 18.
Wow. 360 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it didn't really do anything for me except push me into the even higher sugary foods. And yeah, I moved to Sweden shortly after, and I was still super overweight. And I don't know how things happened, but one of my best friends, she said to me, look, there's this diet, the low carb, high fat. My sister did it. I'm doing it now. Here's this book, read it. And it was by Andreas Ehnfeld, who is the owner of Diet Doctor. So I got introduced to all of this stuff and I went into research mode. That became my new addiction. I was just reading all the time about sugar and what it does to your body and, you know, recipes and this and that. So I started eating low carb, still, you know, thinking about it. And I was like, wow, you had a lot of trigger food still in your diet, but it was a lot better than before. And I started working out a lot. That actually became a bit of an addiction for me. I replaced the food with working out. I also replaced the food with a lot of alcohol because I had very big problems with my operation that I wasn't able to eat the low carb foods because they would be getting stuck. So I went into this cycle of like eating all the time, small portions to get stuff down. And then, I was, how old was I then? Like 23 or so. I went and I had lost some weight and I started to feel a bit more attractive and stuff. So I started going out with all these students. And so I was pretty much binge drinking Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And I wouldn't eat a lot on those days because my hangovers would be so bad. And I would be dancing all night. I would be walking into town and back. So that actually helped me lose weight. But I understand now that I just replaced one addiction for another because I really couldn't go a weekend without getting absolutely drunk. Like there's no stopping for me. And yeah. So that was when I was 23 or so. When I was 25, I left Sweden and I was, I don't know, maybe 200 pounds at that point. So I had lost quite a bit of weight with my weird low carb, high alcohol diet, which I do not recommend. I really do not recommend it. But I was still struggling, you know, it was, I heard about the addiction stuff. I read Bitten Johnson's book. Even back then, I was interested in joining her courses, but I always thought, hey, you can't even do more than 30 days on your food plan. How can you teach anybody else? You know, how can you help someone else?
And was this the first time too that you were kind of introduced to even that concept of that you could be addicted to food? Like, had that ever come up earlier for you, or was that really your first exposure to like, oh, this could be an addiction?
I think it was the first time. So actually I found this influencer on Instagram who had gone to one of her intensives in Sweden. And she talked about addiction and it was like, okay, yeah, this is addiction. I'm just like an alcoholic, just with the food and actually also with the alcohol. although I didn't understand it back then. But yeah, I think it was my first exposure to that. Mm. And after that, I really identified with addiction and I kept going around and telling people, no, I don't eat this stuff because I'm an addict. I'm an addict, I'm an addict, I'm an addict. But I kept saying it and I didn't truly believe it, you know? So I was playing around with the idea of maybe going to one of those intensives, but oh, they were expensive and oh, they were in Sweden. And I didn't want to, I didn't really want to invest into that. I wanted to do it by myself, you know? So I tried for, yeah, almost 8 years to do it by myself. And yeah, when I moved to the Netherlands, at some point I got my surgery removed, the lap band because I said, I can't do this. I had chronic pain in my shoulder because it was pressing on a nerve for 10 years. And I said, look, this is also making me eat. It's one of my triggers. If I am in pain, I want to soothe myself with food. So please remove it. It didn't help me lose any weight. I did that all by myself with changing my food. And I think it will be easier for me to stick to my food plan if I don't have the surgery. And the surgeon told me, yeah, statistically speaking, if we remove it and you don't have a follow-up surgery, you're going to regain all your weight. It's like, no, no, I'm not going to regain my weight. That's nonsense. I'm an addict. I just need to follow my food plan. And so I thought I was being smart by joining this group, a multidisciplinary program where they said, okay, so we do exercise, we do food, and we do psychology. And at this time, when I joined them, that was about a year after they had removed the surgery or undone the surgery, I was following a carnivore diet and I was feeling really good with that. You know, I was doing really good with that. And when I arrived there, the psychologist told me, there's no such thing as food addiction. There's no such thing as sugar addiction. You've just manipulated yourself into believing that you are addicted to these things, but it's really, it's your trauma. You know, we have to figure out all the past and untangle all of this stuff. And then you'll be able to eat in moderation. And my addiction was like, yeah, sure. Let's do that. And then, yeah.
I'm just like, no, I mean, this is so sad to me again that you're looking for help, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, if someone's like, no, moderation is an option, what addict's gonna be like, nope, I just wanna not have any. Yeah. And I am very similar with thought I had binge eating disorder and kept getting therapy around that and moderation. And yeah, that's so hard to hear that though from, you know, a healthcare professional that's supposed to be an expert, right? Even though sometimes we intuitively feel these things like, I think it's more than that. I don't think it's my trauma. I think it's more. But to hear someone else say that, of course, it's going to make us double guess ourselves. And then especially when they're saying, oh, you can still eat this stuff in moderation. I mean, who's not going to try that at least, right?
And you know, the really sad thing is that this person was actually trained in addiction.
Oh, so
had worked with addicts, you know, alcohol and drug addicts. And I said, look, I'm exactly the same. This is how I act with the food. No, but there aren't any studies proving that. And I'm like, yeah, there are studies proving that.
Yeah.
I didn't have that much fight in me. And I think at that point, it was just easier to, I wanted to believe that I can do moderation, you know? And I couldn't do moderation. I started binging a lot more than I had in the years before. And I mean, we know the disease is chronic and progressive. And I regained about 60 pounds. And I felt so terrible because I was actually before at a point where I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm liking myself. I think I look attractive, I have a partner and all of this stuff. And then when I regained the weight, I was so desperate and said, okay, you know what, I'm going to do the bypass, because I was trying for 2 years to go below those 200 pounds and I just couldn't. And then I gained 60. So I went and had surgery in Belgium, and that did help. I lost 80 pounds maybe or something like this with the help of that, but my behavior didn't change. You know, I had thought that if I have this and if I get the dumping syndrome, because you do get that when you eat sugary foods or too much fat. I never had it with fat, only with high sugary foods, thank God, because I'm, you know, I'm doing the ketogenic diet with a lot of fat. That would be very bad. But I think I had maybe 8 weeks where I was okay with my food. But then it just, I started eating all these processed foods that were supposedly healthy. And it didn't help that my work colleague had her surgery like 2 days after I did. And she was losing a lot more weight than I was, a lot faster, because it was her first surgery and she had lower weight to begin with. So I was kind of looking at what she was eating, and she was doing all these vitamin drinks and, you know, the little yogurts and the smoothies and this and that, because we have a small stomach and we need to get our vitamins from the fruit. And I know there's not that many vitamins in fruit. It's just, you know, hogwash. But yeah, so I was really not doing good. I didn't gain any weight. I was losing weight, but my behavior was bad. My days mostly looked like I would eat some junk and then I would drink mint tea because the junk made me feel really bad and nauseous. So I was like constantly drinking mint tea to feel better. I would pass out on the sofa and throw away my food and say, oh God, I will never do this again. Please make the pain go away. I feel terrible. I feel terrible. I would almost pass out on the toilet because, you know, it just, stuff didn't work properly anymore. And 2 hours later, I'd do it all over again, you know?
And if that does not show the power of addiction, you know, for people that are like, there's no such thing, like who else is going to put themselves through that and then do it all over again and continue to do it? Like, to me, that totally signifies like the power of how powerful this addiction really, really is, that you're that sick. I remember doing that too. Like, oh, like the food hangover, you know, and just being like, and I didn't have, you know, the surgery, but I still would wake up some days after and just be like, I am never eating again, you know? And then, yeah, like you said, 2 hours later, just did it all over again. So, yeah, that is just, you know, heartbreaking for me. Cause again, not getting that help and being told, cause at this point, were you still thinking, okay, I might be able to moderate. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was always about the weight. It really was. So I was like, you know what? It's okay. I'm not gaining any weight. So I can continue to do this. But the other things, you know, all this time, there wasn't a moment where I didn't suffer from really bad mood swings and depression. And my ex-partner even said to me, maybe you're bipolar or something, because one day I would love him, the next day I wouldn't love him. I was literally going through withdrawal every couple of days because every day I started saying, I'm not doing this. That's the one thing that followed me. You know, every day I woke up with the intention, today I'm going to do well. I never ever said, oh, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to eat without consequences. I always had the intention to do well. And sometimes it worked and I had a couple more days, but I always went back to the food, you know. But yeah, I mean, I realize now that there are a lot more consequences than the weight. And you know, I, even in my work history, I have a lot of illness days because I kept feeling sick and I didn't understand that it was the withdrawal and it was the food that was making me sick. So I understand that now. I understand if I have too much dairy, I get super depressed. You know, one time I ate an entire halloumi and I started crying 20 minutes afterwards. My circumstances didn't change. It was just that, you know, I had this halloumi and it has this effect on me. I'm very, very sensitive. Yeah, I missed a lot of work. I went to therapy paid for by work because they thought I was having burnout from, you know, all the stress at work, but there wasn't really any stress at work. I'm just an addict and I can't deal with life when I'm in a constant state of withdrawal, you know, or trying to get off the foods. Because my work is the same now and I have no problems, you know. It's exactly the same. It's just life is so much harder when you are controlled by the food. And yeah, I guess this brings us to last year, you know, I had my surgery that didn't go well. I was just in a constant state of withdrawal and peace. And then going back into the food and depression. And I slept so much, you know, I've slept half of my life away. So I'm really happy now that I don't need to take any naps anymore. But yeah, in the beginning of 2021, my 5-year long relationship ended, and I was really relieved. And I just took this opportunity and I was like, you know what? You're never going to be able to get through this breakup, having to sell your house, having to do all these things. And you're never going to be able to have a stable relationship with someone if you don't address your addiction, because that is the problem. And this time around, I'm not going to care about the weight. The weight is irrelevant. It has to be about my mood and my depression and my well-being, you know. The weight will come off when it comes off. So actually in January, this was already before the breakup, I booked myself a trip at the beach alone, me and my two dogs, and on a kind of carnivore retreat. I packed all my food. I took everything with me so I wouldn't have to go to any shops or anything. And I isolated in this beach house with the dogs. And I was just going to focus on getting my food right. No coffee, no nothing, no dairy, only meat and butter and journaling and yoga and all that stuff. And I felt really great coming back afterwards. Then I got broken up with. You know, I dipped back into the food for a little bit. But then I thought, no, I really, really need to do something now. And I don't have a partner now that is going to tell me that I'm not allowed to spend money on getting help from an addiction specialist, because I wanted to do that for a long time. But it was like, oh, no, you don't have an addiction coming from another food addict. You don't need to spend this kind of money, you know, just eat the right stuff. Yeah, if it was that easy, you know.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, it's not that easy. And then I started searching online for some things that I could do. And before I found SugarX Global, I actually did a couple of one-on-one sessions and joined a group, Shift. They are called Shift by Acorn. So that's where I got introduced to a bit of 12-step, and it was really helpful to have someone to talk to one-on-one going through that first withdrawal. And just having someone that understands, that truly understands, you know, how my relationship with food is. And then one day I just got this email from Bitten's newsletter about a 5-day Crush Your Cravings challenge, trained people by Bitten. They have all the knowledge that I so desperately wanted to get from going to her courses, and it's free. And I was just like, I spent the entire week attending every single meeting. I shared on the meetings. And I think even after the first meeting, they hadn't even announced that they have what the price would be for the recovery accelerator and all of that. I sent an email saying, look, sign me up. I'm doing this. You know, I don't care how much it costs. I'm going to do this because this just is what I need. So I actually took out a loan so I could pay for the 9-week program. And I really don't regret it, because I now have 13 months, you know, that's 13 times 30 days of abstinence. And I have achieved more of my goals in the past year than I have in the past 25 years. You know, you know how you always have this idea of the person that you want to be? Oh, I want to get up early and go for a walk, and I want to do the journaling, and I want my kitchen to be clean all the time, and I want to, you know, be a nice person, have a stable mood and all of this. I am this person now. Not every day, you know, but most of the time I'm this person that I wanted to be. And I never thought that would be possible. I didn't wake up like in my fantasy from one day to another being this person. It took a lot of work. I put a lot of time into my recovery. but it's worth it. It really is.
I think it's so worth the investment, yeah, in yourself. And then I think a lot about like how much money you're saving now on not binging, right? Like I think about how much money I used to spend on food or the new diet products, programs, whatever. Like I have already wasted so much money. So yeah. I feel like once you find that thing that actually works, yeah, it's priceless. So so glad that everything aligned the way that it needed to for you, that you even came to that, like, the weight loss, even though, you know, you had still probably weight you wanted to lose, but it was just like, you know what, that's just going to be on the side. It's really focusing on how it, like, you got really clear on your why.
Yeah.
Right. You had a really strong why is what it, you know, sounded like to me. And I want to be this person that's stable. And then, you know, there's another like exercise I like to do in my groups is like, what does your life look like off sugar, and really journaling about that. And then that's basically what you're living now. Right. So that is so incredibly powerful. So tell us a little bit then, you know, and I just love your story so much. Thanks for sharing all that, but tell us a little bit about what was different, you know, with that, the sugar X, especially the 5 day, you doing the 5 days and just knowing, yes, I'm going to sign up. Like, what was it that really clicked for you?
I think first of all, giving up diet mentality, that is the number one thing. And I see so many people struggling with that. And you know, the weight is just a symptom. It really is. And if you focus on that, you'll always go back to the food. So when I gave that up, and I still struggle with it sometimes, it creeps in, you know, when I gave that up, everything got a bit easier and I was able to focus on the things that can really help me. And the other thing was that, so I knew for many years what I needed to eat. I could probably, already before I did my courses, I could lecture people on how the body works and what they are supposed to eat. I wasn't able to continue doing it. I didn't know how to stay stopped. And being in that program, they talk a little bit about the food, but actually now I realize that the food is just a tiny, tiny part of my problem. My problem is in my brain and how my brain reacts to all the influences around me. So I don't have a problem with just food. I have a problem with anything that is psychoactive or highly stimulating. You know, that can be Instagram, Netflix, that can be computer games, that can be painkillers, that can be alcohol, any of that stuff. And they really focus on all the other stuff, all the other 90% that you need to figure out, you know? So I think that was the biggest change for me, that I just eat my food and I focus on the other things because those things keep me out of the food. That was very important to me.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Like that's just, it's so much inner work as part of this journey. The food is just such a small, important first step, but then there's a lot to do afterwards. So what are some of the things that you have found for you to be keeping you out of the food? Like what are, you know, I always say we all have to have like this toolkit that we make, you know, with a lot of different tools, you know, like I like to joke, I have to do like 2 meditations, a tapping and affirmations before I even step foot out of the bed in the morning to have a good day. So what is your, and it, you know, I think recovery is very active. Like it has to be very active. You have to be working towards it. So what have you found really works for you?
Yeah. So around the same time that I found SugarX, I also got introduced to this whole quantum healing stuff. Mm. So that was really the missing piece for me. And I didn't understand in the beginning, the first couple of months, that what I was doing already naturally, like going for walks early in the morning with my dogs, being outside and exposing myself to sunlight. I made sure I ate all my meals outside and I didn't know what I was doing, but now I took a course and I understand that by exposing myself to the sunrise every morning, that it just primes my brain to produce my neurotransmitters in a more balanced fashion, you know, and with vitamin D and all of that stuff. So that is like, for me, the most important part next to the food, because it has really made a massive change for me. My mood has increased so much. I get up at five, bless you.
Thank you.
I get up at 5:30 in the morning like this without an alarm clock. And I'm happy, you know, I'm happy to go outside. I have stable energy throughout the day. I spend a lot of time outside in nature, just bare feet, not wearing a lot of clothes, not caring what other people think about my chicken wings, you know. It really, the mindset has just completely changed. And being just in tune with nature and focusing on that has made such a big difference for me, because before I wouldn't know what to do with myself. So I would watch Netflix, and then I would just, instead of binge eat, I would binge watch. And at the same time, binge watching TV is a trigger to eat. So that didn't really work together. But now I know that all of these, you know, this disconnect from the planet is making it so much harder for me to recover, because I'm out of tune. I'm not in balance with what's around me. And I think that is also a very, very big problem for our society right now. We are just so out of tune with how we're supposed to be living. You know, we live in these isolated houses with glass that doesn't let any sunlight in, looking at screens, looking at fake reality all the time, stimulants everywhere. You know, it's really hard these days not to be addicted to something.
And just to be able to be present and comfortable without having to, like, you know, like I was standing in line for something the other day, and I was on my, I'm like, no, just stand here, be present, think, check in with yourself. You don't have to like distract yourself. You know, the other thing, so I'm also big, big part for me is getting outside every day and connecting. Like I get that. I love the grounding, getting your feet in that, you know, bare earth. And I'm wondering, you know, it just kind of came to me as you were talking, is you didn't really get that experience as a kid. Like, you know, a lot of times I think of how much my kids are outside and present, and that really like motivates me, but you kind of were denied that as a kid. You know, you were watching TV like and eating from a really early age. So it's really cool to have you now be able to reconnect with that, you know. But I'm sure you're kind of like reliving some, because, you know, you think of children a lot as really amazing examples of like, you know, like my kid will be on a walk and they'll be like, wow, look at that bug, you know, like, or whatever. They can be really present and just easily, you know, even still, like if the kids see a squirrel, they get really excited. And
yep, you know, I'm a kid. I must be a kid then. No, yeah. I can relate to that so much. And it is true. It is honestly true. I walk around outside. I don't even take my phone with me when I walk. It's just me and my dogs. And there's a bird passing me and I start talking to the birds, or I get super excited when I see a butterfly, or I just have to smile when I see how everything is blooming around me. And, you know, there are no distractions. And before, I always had this thing, nothing made me happy. Nothing. There could be this amazing person telling me that they absolutely adore me and love me and they want to do stuff with me. Let's go to a vacation, you know, let's go here, let's go there. There would be no excitement. There would be nothing. I wouldn't be able to feel anything. And now I get that from looking at a butterfly. So it's just such a massive change. And I'm this little hippie person now, walking outside barefoot with flowers in my hair and just, you know, exposing my skin to the sun all day. And I love it. I don't need anything more. I barely watch TV anymore. I'm like scrolling through Netflix because I'm like, maybe I could watch something. And it's like 10 minutes of scrolling. I still haven't found anything that triggers my interest. All of this is meh. So I go outside and that gives me pleasure. So I don't know, taking it to another extreme. It's just, I enjoy it so much. I really love that.
I think you just have some catching up to do too. But I think that's so like such a great way to connect and be present and grounded and find happiness. So many people are just uncomfortable, like just being with themselves. So you, that to me shows how far you've come. And besides, so one, you know, we're almost out of time, but you know, besides like the quantum healing, which I love, exposing yourself to sun first thing in the morning, you know, all those things and getting outside in nature, that's been a really big part of your journey in healing. But what have you found since you kind of hit on earlier that the weight loss, like you look amazing, you know, so I'm guessing you've lost more weight, you know, but that's not even, like you said, that's just a happy, you know, side effect. Or I think of that too, where that was always my goal was weight loss. But then I found so many other benefits. So what to you has really been maybe like your top two benefits now, you know, that you could say after being, you know, sugar and flour free for 13 months, what have you found really how your life has changed the most?
So number one, definitely the fact that I want to be alive, that I don't have all these suicidal thoughts all the time. That is amazing. And the other thing would be that I have energy, that I don't spend all of my days lying in bed, you know, thinking of hoping to wake up and have the life that I want. No, I actually have energy to do the things that make me grow and move towards my goals. I do sometimes take a nap here or there, but most of the time I'm awake from 5:30 until 9 or 10 and I get stuff done. You know, I connect with people. I have to say that as well. Connection is really one of the key factors to making this last, you know. I have my capability partner. I love her to bits. Next week, I get to meet her in person, finally. I talk to her every single day. I've connected with a lot of other people as well, you know, just exposing yourself to a group of people that understands and sharing, actively sharing, you know, you can't just sit there and listen, you need to participate. That has been such a game changer, you know. And it's always good to hear from people that are maybe in the beginning of their journey, because just like I forget the pain that I was in, I also forget that I have this disease. So I need to be reminded on a daily basis that this is what it was like for me. And if I put the wrong thing in my body, I can easily go back there. So I need to keep watching my sunrise, talk to Karen, go to meetings. You know, I need to keep doing those things or I can't live life, enjoy the butterflies.
I love that so much. And yeah, you are living the life basically you always dreamed of. You know, you are that person now. And I just love that so much. Oh, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I love that you're going to be now helping others, you know, getting certified so you can help other people. We'll definitely have you back on, you know, so we can check in, because I love, you know, checking back in. But is there anything, you know, today that maybe we didn't get to that you wanted to share, or just any last words of wisdom or advice for people listening today?
I think it's just important to know that there is hope, that you can find help, but that if you want change, you need to take action. You know, you need to stop looking for the right diet and just eat foods that aren't processed and find a program that works for you and actually do the things that they tell you to do, because that's where it always stops. You know, you kind of just want things to magically work out for you, but you actually have to put in the work. So
I agree with that 100%. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. They just want to follow some diet plan, but there's so much more that you have to do to really feel that healing and freedom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today. Really loved listening to you. And I'm sure, again, so many people just have also really enjoyed this and just really resonating with what you've said. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. And remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.